So brain fingerprinting, otherwise known as mind reading technology, has been subject to much criticism, probably rightly so, as a tool to solve crime cases. A unique study recently released shows further ways to doubt the use of this technology through drugs that act as beta blockers to suppress memory so that suspects can avoid being convicted. PhD candidate from Deakin University Law School, Paul McGorry, joins us on air this morning. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Eleanor.
So brain fingerprinting technology, what is it?
So essentially it's a machine that you connect to someone's brain, and when you show them a whole lot of stimuli, if a lot of them are unfamiliar, they'll release an electrical output from their brain that doesn't really change too much. But as soon as you show them something that's familiar to them, subconsciously their brain will recognize it within a third of a second. It's called the P300 response. And you'll see a big spike in electrical output from their brain to show that they've recognized whatever you've shown them.
Wow. Okay. So what's the ethical implication of this?
Yeah, so there's quite a few ethical and legal implications for this, especially in the context of the criminal law. There's a few rights we have in Australia. So we've got the right against self-incrimination, which essentially means the right to silence. You don't have to talk during an interview with police. You don't have to testify during a criminal trial against yourself. Now, if you're not obligated to speak during those occasions, it seems almost obvious that you also wouldn't be obligated to share your thoughts or have someone involuntarily reach in and take them without consent, which is also similar to the right to privacy. Now, everyone knows police can't search your car, your home, or even possibly your mobile phone without having a warrant in their possession. So technically, your thoughts are probably your most private and innermost space. If you need a warrant for your house and your car, it's pretty much guaranteed that you would need one to enter into someone's brain. And there's also a more sketchy right, but I think one that's going to become much more useful as we enter the years of mind-reading technologies, is a freedom of thought, just the right to think freely and not have people steal your thoughts or interfere with them.
Oh my God, this sounds like 1984. Okay, so I mean, but what are some of the, I guess, advantages of this kind of technology?
Yeah, so there are some researchers in New Zealand right now who are looking into using brain fingerprinting technology to solve crimes. And there was some mention at the start of last year that the Australian government might be looking into it to solve terrorism cases. Now, while I certainly think this sort of evidence shouldn't be admitted in a courtroom, both because of its unreliability and because of the human rights concerns, there might be some exceptional cases. If you had, for example, an imminent terrorist threat and a suspect in the room, and you knew that that person probably had an idea what the location of the terrorist threat was, you could show them a number of perhaps sporting stadiums or major public features, and if their brain triggers to one of those while you're asking them about the suspected threat, you might be able to direct your resources more efficiently towards that location.
Wow, okay. So there's a drug and it's called propranolol, and it's commonly used for purposes like anxiety and PTSD. So what are the possibilities that it could be used to fault mind reading technology?
So this is the novel part of my article, suggesting that although there's this brain fingerprinting technology that suggests it can access your subconscious memories when it shows you those familiar stimuli, if there's a way to artificially interfere with your own memories and stop them from ever forming, you might be able to, if you're a really smart offender, trick the technology by taking this drug, especially within the first 6 hours of an event, and it will erase or at least dull the memory in your mind. A lot of sexual assault survivors have said that when they remember the attack, it's more like reading a book or remembering a film that you once watched rather than remembering that it happened to you.
Wow, okay. That's very, very intense. Alrighty, well, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you very much for talking to us this morning, Paul.
Not a problem. Thanks so much for having me.
So that was Paul McGorry on the ethics behind mind reading technology in crime.